Hello and welcome to Living Hope. This is Pastor Staten, and I want to welcome everybody that is joining us today. A shout out to our e-family, all of you that are joining us through the internet. I want to remind you every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you can join us live at tv.livinghopemd.com. I pray that today's message blesses you and that you enjoy the word as it is shared today.
I'm too lost to be found, and I know it's in my mind.
Lord bless you. Amen. We're going to go ahead and turn in our Bibles. Amen. To the book of Judges, chapter number 1. And I had mentioned that we're going to kind of push pause on working through the book of Acts. And really kind of take a pause on, I know Wednesday night has traditionally been Bible study night, but I believe in the need for Bible study. We do have on Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school classes for all ages, and that is devoted to the study of the Scripture. And we need that. We need teaching. Amen. That gives us our foundation. So I do encourage you. Amen. Sunday mornings from 10:45 to 11:30. And we have a short window of fellowship. Both of those are very important for our spiritual development, right? We need the teaching of the Word, and we need fellowship. Amen. We need to be around one another. We need to pray with one another. And we also need the fellowship with one another. Amen. And so, but for a while here on Wednesday nights, I hope my goal is that it'll become just another extension of Sunday morning. And we're going to preach. I believe that God's going to give us help. We're going to preach through some strongholds. I believe we're going to get a breakthrough. Amen. That's going to, not just for our church, but for our community. Amen. I believe that God is going to give us a breakthrough as a church that's going to reach and impact our community. I would say, and I'm not a big fan of my preaching in the sense of some people like to go back and listen or watch themselves preach. I do not. I don't like to listen to myself preach, don't like to watch it. But if you weren't here Sunday and you're a part of this church, I want to encourage you to go back and listen or watch that message. Only reason I'm asking you to do that because I feel like it was a directive that God was given to this church. And I don't want you to miss out on the blessing that God has made available to us as a congregation. And I know some of you are already engaging and moving. Not because you told me, I can already see it. You can already see the impact of it. So I want to encourage you. We talked, amen, about Obed-Edom, the blessing that came upon his house. Amen. And I believe what we're going to see that our services, the power of what God is going to do here is going to be the overflow of what's going on in our living rooms, in our dining rooms, in our homes throughout the week. Amen. This is meant to be the overflow of not the replacement of that. We need both. We need this and we need that. Amen. And so anyway, I won't re-preach it for you. I'll let you go watch it or listen to it. Tonight, we're going to continue on in Judges chapter 1 and just a few verses there, beginning of verse 16. The Bible says, the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of the palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad. They went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also, Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah. And he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Amen. Everybody tell your neighbor, the Lord was with Judah. How many of you believe that if God is with you, you can do anything? Have you know the scripture says that if God be for us, who? That's not asking you to fill in the blank. It's saying nobody. Nobody can be against you if God is for you. Amen. And I want to utilize this portion of scripture, and I want to preach tonight for a few minutes on this thought. Don't get the cart before the horse. Amen. Don't get the cart before the horse. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. This idiom, not idiot, idiom. That's what don't get the cart before the horse means, or rather what it is, the particular type of language it is, the type of speech, I guess, that you would say that it is it's an idiom. And basically what that means when you say to somebody, don't get the cart before the horse, you're not giving them instruction on how to hitch up their horse to the wagon. It's similar to saying, don't count your chickens before they hatch. It's talking about don't get things out of order. Don't get too ahead of yourself in doing something. We might say maybe some things that would be ways that we could apply that. Don't buy a wedding dress if he hasn't proposed yet. All right? Cook the meal before you set the table. All right? Those might be some things. Don't buy cattle if you don't own any land. All right? There's a thousand different ways that we could make application of that, but it just don't get ahead of yourself. However, I want to use this tonight not as an idiom, but more of a literal sense in looking at some of the scriptures we're going to talk about tonight. And so I want to begin by looking at Judges chapter 1, where here the people of the tribe of Judah are beginning to take hold of the inheritance that has been allotted to them by Joshua. Back in the book of Joshua, Joshua begins to go through the scripture and tells them by tribe what parcels of land they're going to inherit. He's preparing them for this moment, which we begin to find now in the book of Judges, where they begin to take and walk into that inheritance. And the Bible tells us in verse number 19 that the Lord was with Judah. They drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley. I would say tonight that the adversary does not mind us conquering some parts of what God has promised us, as long as we don't conquer everything that God has promised us. Amen. The enemy is okay with you conquering the mountains as long as you surrender in the valley. Amen. The enemy doesn't mind. Now, when we talk about mountains, we know that that's speaking of proverbial high points. Amen. High places with God. The mountaintop. We can all thrive in the mountaintop. And the enemy, I don't think, really minds too much, because you can't live in the mountain. All right? You can go there, but you can't live there. Moses went to the mountain, but our bodies are not, God did not create us to dwell in the summit. You can go there, but you're going to have to come back down from the summit. You cannot stay there. And so the enemy doesn't mind us having mountaintop experience, as long as it does not translate to valley, amen, to valley victory. The enemy doesn't mind you going to the mountain and being victorious there, amen. But as long as when you come back down to the valley, you surrender that victory that you earned in the mountain, you give it back over to the enemy. Because valleys are the low points in our walk with God. Amen. The psalmist wrote and said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. The valley is a place that was personified and spoken of as a place of death. Amen. It's the low point. The valley is the low point. It's the reason that Elijah could be victorious over the prophets of Baal atop Mount Carmel. But the Bible tells us he goes a day's journey into the valley, and one day later he's asking God to take his life. The enemy doesn't mind if you slay the prophets of Baal atop Mount Carmel if a day later you're giving up and throwing in the towel. Amen. Where was it that David faced Goliath? It was in the valley of Elah. Amen. We need to learn and understand that God did not just intend you to be victorious on the mountain. He also intended you to be victorious in the valley. Amen. They danced and they sang about David because David learned how to have victory in the valley. Amen. Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Amen. I'm telling you, God wants to mature us tonight by teaching us, hey, I didn't intend for you just to be victorious on the mountaintop, but it's the will of God that you are victorious even in the valley. That really is the premise of what we talked about Sunday. Amen. When we relegate our move of God to a Sunday morning, the enemy doesn't mind if you come to church and you get victory on Sunday morning, as long as you give him the keys to your family on Monday. He doesn't care how much dance you do on Sunday, as long as you step back into depression on Monday. He doesn't care. But we as a people of God need to be able to look at the enemy and say, I can have victory in the mountain, but I can also have victory in the valley. if we're going to be victorious in our walk with God. I don't believe if somebody were to chart our walk with God, I don't believe it should look like a thrill ride at an amusement park. Right up one day and down the next and around that corner. And I mean, man, just watching the journey of some folks walk with God, I get nauseous just watching. I'm like, how can you do that? I need some Tums. I need some Pepto-Bismol. Because up there one day and down there the next. And how, God wants to stabilize that. He wants to give us victory. And if we're going to be victorious in our walk with God, first of all, we have got to be convinced that our God is not just the God of the mountains. He is also the God of the valleys. Now, I'm getting about 50% feedback right now. I wonder, do the rest of you believe that it's the will of God that you're victorious on the mountain, but you're also victorious in the valley? Yea, though I walk through the valley, I'm not staying there. I'm walking through the valley because God is going to give me victory. Amen. Listen to this passage of Scripture. In 1 Kings chapter 20, the Bible tells us that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. The Bible says the children of Israel were numbered and they were all present. And so they come up against the Syrians. There's a battle about to take place. The children of Israel, the Bible says, pitched before them like two flocks of kids. Small. It's giving us the imagery that the Israelites were outnumbered. There were just two small companies of them. But on contrast to that, the Syrians filled the country. The Bible says in verse 28 that there came a man of God and spoke to the king of Israel. And here's what he said. He said, God is saying this because the Syrians said this, that the God that they serve is the God of the hills or the mountains, but he is not the God of the valley. And so the man of God said, because the enemy is telling you that God is only the God of the mountain, but not the God of the valley, God is going to give you the victory today. Why? Because God wants to prove he is the God of the mountain, but he's also the God of the valley. What does that mean? I don't have to stay in depression. What does it mean? I don't have to stay in anxiety. What does that mean? I don't have to stay in fear and worry. Because my God is not just the God of the mountain. He is also the God of the valley. Somebody ought to praise him right now, right in the middle of your valley. Right in the middle of the valley, you ought to give God praise. Come on, because the fact that the enemy is telling you that God is not the God of the valley, that's the very reason that God is going to give you the victory. Amen. And the reason the Bible tells us that Judah's inheritance is interrupted and their conquering of the Canaanites is quelled is due to the fact that the inhabitants of the valley had chariots of iron. Amen. It says that they took the mountains, they drove out the inhabitants thereof, but then they stopped when they come to the valley. And the reason the Bible, there's always something in the valley. There's always some excuse in the valley. There's always some reason we surrender our victory to the enemy. There's always some reason we hand over the keys and say, devil, you can lead things for a while, because there's always something in the valley that leads us to say, I can't win this battle. Now, the chariots of iron were formidable pieces of weaponry. The exterior of the chariot was reinforced with sheets of metal, making it impenetrable by most of the weapons of that day. But also, and I know I've talked about this before, I'm not going to linger on it for long, but extending from the wheels of chariots were razor-sharp blades called scythes. They would drive those iron chariots that were impenetrable to the weapons that would be brought against them. And they would drive through the battles that were being fought, and they would just massacre anything in their way with those iron sharp scythes that protruded from the wheels of those chariots. They were terrifying, mutilating weapons of warfare. And the armies of their adversaries possessing the valley were equipped with these iron chariots. It was the terror of the iron chariot that stilled the success of Judah. It was their fear of a reinforced opponent that caused him to pause when they should have plundered. When they should have been going forward in victory, they paused because they were fearful of iron chariots. Yet the passage in Judges chapter 1 was not their introduction to these fearsome chariots. We didn't just arrive here in Judges 1 and all of a sudden they realized that their enemy is armed with iron chariots. I want us to look in our Bibles back to Joshua chapter number 17. Joshua, here's where he's dividing up the territory among the tribes. So Judges chapter 1 is where they're taking possession of what is being spoken back in Joshua 17. Joshua is speaking. He's saying this tribe is going to get that coast and that mountain and that hill and that valley, and this tribe is going to get this, that, and the other. And he's dividing up the territories among each of the different tribes. We look in Joshua chapter 17, verse 16. I want you to listen close to the language, particularly in verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, "But the children of Joseph said, 'The mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Bethshean and its towns, and those who are of the valley of Jezreel.'" So they're saying, Joshua had spoke to them and said, "We're giving you the mountain, we're giving you the territories around it." And what their response now is, "The mountains are not big enough for us, but we can't take the valley because there's iron chariots in the valley." All right, there's again, this is chapters before we get to Judges. Verse 17, "And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, 'You are a great people and have great power.'" I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, "You are great and you have great power." Now, y'all said that like I just told you got a dollar off your meal at Panera. That was not very exciting. I want you to act like somebody just told you won Powerball. Amen. "You are great and you have great power." They're saying the mountain's not big enough, but we can't take the valley because there's iron chariots. And Joshua looks back at them and says, "You are great and you have great power." "You shall not only have one lot, but the mountain country will be yours. Although it is wooded, you're going to cut down the trees, and the farthest extent are going to be yours." Listen, he goes on and says, "You will drive out the Canaanites, even though they have iron chariots and they are strong." Amen. I've come to tell somebody tonight, you better be careful what voices you are listening to. Some of you talk yourself out of victory before the battle even starts. Amen. Some of you've got voices in your head that are telling you that the valley can't belong to you because of the enemy that is down there. You've got to be careful what voices you are listening to. The Israelites had propagated a limiting belief that they were not strong enough, that it was just impossible to bring down iron chariots. And they had repeated this so many times that they had become convinced that their victory stopped where iron chariots began. That God could only give them the mountains because there were iron chariots in the valleys. And it may not be valleys and it may not be iron chariots, but everybody in this building has had the devil repeat a lie to you. Amen. That some of you just have yourself believing that there's just some territory that you'll never conquer. There's just some things in your world that you're never going to get the victory of. Amen. There's just some things that you're fighting against that you'll never get victory over. I thought I'd be preaching to more than five of you. I know I'm preaching to some of you that ain't clapping right now because the enemy has convinced you that they're just, "Hey, pastor, I hear you up there preaching, but you don't know what's in my valley." I came to tell you, I don't care what's in your valley, because he is the God of the mountain and he is the God of the valley. "Pastor, you don't know what I've been through." I may not know what you've been through, but I know what he's bringing you to. Amen. He's going to bring you through this. You are great and you are powerful. The enemy says your marriage will never be successful. because your mom and dad divorced when you were a child, and that's all you've ever known. And the enemy has some of you convinced that it's just a matter of time before your marriage falls apart. Can I tell you, you got to be careful what voices you listen to, because the more you listen to those voices, the more convinced you will become. It's time to put your foot on the enemy and let the enemy know, I'm taking the valley. I'm not satisfied with the mountains. I'm going to take the valley. The enemy says you'll never have victory in your finances because. You're never going to win the battle over fear because. You'll never be free of depression because. Anxiety, worry, the list goes on because. Amen. Somebody, the enemy has spoken that into your mind and you've begun to speak it over and over and over until you believe that I can't have victory in the valley. 7 chapters before Judah begins to move into their promise and step into their inheritance, they had already put a lid. They had already established limitations on just how much victory God could give them. 7 chapters. They haven't even started moving into their promised inheritance. They're just talking about it, and right then and there, they put a limitation and say, we can believe God for the mountain, but there's iron chariots in the valley. And they begin to speak themselves out of an inheritance and out of, can I tell you right now, I don't care what you're battling. I don't care who your dad was, who your mom was. I don't care what happened to you. Amen. If God is your God, you can have victory in the mountains, and you can have victory in the valleys. Some of you have just accepted that your lot in life is to be is just, I'm going to be depressed. What God do you serve? My Bible tells me that the God that I serve is the Prince of Peace. If you've just accepted that you have to live with depression, you need to speak out right now and say, devil, my God is the God of the mountain, and he's also the God of the valley. They'd been speaking it for so long, it wasn't even an argument. They just accepted it, that we can't take the valley. And some of you have just begun to accept things. You're not even militant any longer. You don't fight against it. Well, I guess I can't have a good marriage. That's just the way it is. That's just my lot in life. I wish you'd get a fight in you. I wish you'd rise up and say, that's not the will of God. The will of God is that my marriage prospers. The will of God is that my children prosper. The will of God is that I'm blessed coming in and going out. You've got to drive the Canaanites out of your promise. You can't just sit there and let them linger. Tell your neighbor, you are great and you have great power. Come on, you are great. Oh, I don't know. I just feel depressed. You are great and you have great power. Well, I'm so worried about this and I'm worried about that. You are great. And you have great power. Well, pastor doesn't know what I went through when I was 7 years old, and this happened when I was 10. You are great, and you have great power. Because the more you play those lines over in your head, the more you repeat and talk about all the reasons why you can have victory, the more you believe it, amen, the more you accept it. I came to disrupt that tonight. I came to disrupt your limiting beliefs. I came to disrupt your negative talk. I came tonight with the word from God that you are great and you have great power. I can be anything God wants me to be. I can have anything God wants me to have. I wish somebody praised him like you believe that tonight. Come on, are you satisfied to let the enemy live in your inheritance? Are you satisfied to let the Canaanites live in your valleys? I feel a word from Joshua in this house tonight. You will possess the land even though they have iron chariots. You will. Joshua didn't say you could, you might. He said you will. You shall drive out the Canaanites even though they have chariots of iron. You know what Joshua was doing? He was disrupting the negative voices. He was disrupting the negative patterns of belief that they had developed in their minds. Amen. You need to get some people around you that won't agree with you. You need to get some people around you that when you say, well, I guess I just can't have the valleys. You don't need yes men around you that say, yeah, I know you can't. Your dad and mom, their marriage was busted too. I guess you can't. No, you need to get somebody in your world that will disrupt your negative speech and look back at you and say, you are great and you have great power. My marriage will be blessed. My children will be blessed. My family will live for God. I'm lingering here because I'm still trying to preach some of you into believing me right now. You've been listening to the negative voices so long that I'm annoying you right now because I'm not agreeing with the voices you've been led to believe. Well, I'm just going to preach a few more minutes and tell you that you are great and you have great power. God can give you the mountain, but he can also give you the valley. I just want you to do me a favor right now. I need you to do me a favor because some of you, I know what's happening in the spirit realm right now. Some of you are saying in your mind, well, I'm the exception. That's for everybody else in here but me. That's for every other situation but mine. That's for every other circumstance but what I'm facing. And that's why Judah did not inhabit the valley. Because there was an excuse in their valley. And they said, God can't do that. It's too big for God. You need a Joshua right now to step into your world and disrupt your depression. Amen. Confuse your chaos. Cast out your fear. And remind you who you are in Jesus Christ. You are great. You are great. You are great. And you have great power. You will drive out the Canaanites even though they have iron chariots. Come on, somebody clap your hands. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the lawyer said. I don't care what the bank account looks like. You are great. You got to get the right voices speaking into your life. You've got to silence. How many of you deal with negative self-talk? Those of you right now didn't raise your hand because your negative self-talk said don't raise your hand. We all, newsflash, some of you thought you were the only one. You're not the only one. We all deal. We all have voices. Speaking every time we start to step into inheritance, every time we start to move into everything God has for us, the enemy points to iron chariots in our valleys and tries to convince us to be content with just living in the mountains. Amen. Just be satisfied with mountaintop experiences and then come back down from that and dredge your way through the valleys and be depressed and discouraged. Can I tell you tonight, it's time to break that cycle. If I could just be the voice of that man of God, they don't even tell what his name is. I think it's awesome sometimes when God uses you and you don't get any credit for it. It's just God. But the man of God in 1 Kings 20, when the Syrians were surrounding them, the Syrians had them, and the Syrians said, hey, we're going to take them out because their God is the God of the mountain, but he's not the God of the valley. I want to speak tonight as the man of God tonight and tell somebody he is the God of the mountain, but he's also the God of your valley. It is the will of God you have victory in the mountain, but it's also the will of God that you have victory in the valley. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you got to be careful who you listen to. We surround ourselves with people that reinforce the negative voices that were already circulating in our own minds. I can't do that because of my past. And you get around your buddies, they're like, hey, you can't do that. Remember your past? just reinforces what you already believe. Well, I can't do that because of this. I can't do this because of that. And then we get around that crowd and they reinforce what we're already thinking. So here we are in Judges chapter 1. The tribe of Judah cuts off their conquest because they're convinced that they cannot defeat an army of iron chariots. When we go back to Joshua chapter 17, it was the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. So I might have made a jump a little too quick there. If we go back to Joshua 17, Joshua wasn't even talking to the tribe of Judah. He was talking to the tribes of Joseph, which were Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh had the same limiting mindset that the tribe of Judah did. They also believe we can't win this battle. We cannot defeat iron. What does that prove? It proves everybody was thinking. It had been talked about among the tribes of Israel to the point that every tribe of Israel believed that they could not defeat iron chariots. I pray to God we don't ever get to the point as a church where nobody believes God's a healer. Amen. Sister Silvati, we're still praying for your healing. I believe God's a healer. Sister Barry, we're still praying for your healing. Come on, we're still a church that believes that God is a healer. It's a bad thing when every tribe in the nation, amen, believes the same limiting things that God can't do this and God can't do that. Can I remind you, He is the God of the mountain and He's also the God of the valley. He can't do anything. They're in an echo chamber of negativity. You can't do it. You'll never overcome it. You'll never win. Stop. Just stop. Come on, you gotta reach up. You gotta get a hold of the Bible talks about casting down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. You need to find you a Joshua. You need to find a Joshua in your world. And if you can't find one tonight, I'm going to be a Joshua in your world. You need to find somebody that will look at you and speak to you the word of the Lord. Amen. Let me remind you tonight, child of God, that you are great and you are. Come on, you are great and you are. Come on, you are powerful in the name. What is that? That's the voice of Joshua telling somebody, I don't care what Ephraim and Manasseh are saying. Come on, Judah, you are great. And you will. You will be victorious. You will drive out the enemy. I don't care if they have iron chariots. Amen. God is going to give you the victory. I don't care how your parents' marriage went. God is going to give you the victory. I don't care how long you've been an addict. God is going to give you the victory. I know we're not used to preaching on Wednesday night, so, but I'm going to press on a little bit because I need this church. You need to rise up and believe that God can give you victory over anything. I want to speak the word over somebody tonight. No weapon formed against you. Come on, I know you've got iron chariots in the valley. I know you're facing some things. I know you've got a past that you feel like you can't outrun. But let me give you the word of the Lord tonight. There is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. What does that mean? It means look out. I'm coming to take my valley. Amen. I'm coming to take territory. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Come on, somebody. You've got the power tonight. You are great and you are powerful. How about this one? You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor, you don't know about the addiction that I'm struggling with. You are great and you are powerful. You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. How about this one? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Here's another one. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What are you doing right now, Pastor? I'm trying to be the voice of Joshua tonight and tell somebody you are great
and you are powerful. God can give you the mountain, but he can also give you the valley.
I want you to raise your hands with me right now all over this house. We're not battling tonight physical iron chariots. Some of you, though, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's things in the valley. There are things that every time you start to move into victory, the enemy, that negative talk gets into your head and you begin to believe there's just some things God is never going to give me the victory over. There's just some areas in my life. I'm just going to be content to live in the mountains because God just can't, he's not powerful enough. He just doesn't, for whatever reason, God's not going to give me the victory in my valley. Come on, somebody, in the name of Jesus, I came to tell somebody tonight he is the God of the mountain. And he's also the God of the valley. Come on, no matter what your past looks like, I promise you God can drive out that Canaanite. No matter how many times you've fallen and failed, I want to let you know tonight, God is big enough, he's great enough, and you are powerful enough. You are great enough to drive that enemy out. But you got to get a fight in you. You can't surrender. You can't surrender way back when Joshua's telling you what's good. They had already given up. By the time we get to Judges 1, they weren't even messing around in the valley because they gave up back in Joshua. It already got, the negativity was already in their mind. They still had to drive out the inhabitants. God would give them the victory, but they had to go down and engage the enemy. And after so long, you know, we just kind of lose our fight and we just throw in the towel. That's just the way it is. My kids just aren't going to serve the Lord. My marriage is just going to be miserable. And we just let the Canaanites live there. But tonight on a Wednesday night, I came to disrupt that negative talk. I came to try to rouse some courage in your spirit. I came to try to awaken that fighting spirit inside of somebody tonight. And remind you that the God that you serve is not limited to victories in the mountains. He's not limited to mountaintop experiences. But the God that we serve is victorious in the valley. The God that we serve was in the grave for 3 days, but he got up because he's not just the God of the mountain. He's the God of the valley. Tell somebody next to you, don't get the cart before the horse. Pastor, that has nothing to do with what you've been preaching. I know. That's why I saved the best for last. Musicians can come. Joshua chapter 11. A little bit of a lengthy reading to close out a sermon. But I figured since it's Bible study night, I could get away with it. Joshua 11 and 1 says, it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, he sent to Jobab. By the way, if you're going to be having children, some cool names to choose from. Hazor and Jobab. Or Jabin and Jobab, the king of Madon and the king of Shimron, to the king of Ashaph. And to the kings that were on the north of the the visual here, what's happening is all of these armies of all different nations are coming together. They're making a confederacy. And they're saying, we're going to go down there and we're going to attack Israel. We're going to attack the people of God. So I've just summarized the first 3 verses. But I do want to read verse 4. And it says, they went out, these armies, these confederacy, these allies that have risen together against Israel. The Bible says, they went out and all their hosts with them, much people. How many? Well, the Bible says it was like the sand of the seashore. In multitude, that's a lot of people, and with horses and chariots, very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said to Joshua, listen to this, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them up, slain before Israel. Listen, thou shalt, who or how, I don't know how you say that. Other versions say you will hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. In that order. said, tomorrow, this time, the enemy's going to come against you, but here's what you're going to do. You're going to hamstring the horses, and you're going to burn their chariots in that order. So Joshua came, the Bible says, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto the great Zidon, unto Mizrepheth Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward, and they smote them until they left none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hamstringed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Here's the deal. Time and time again, when Israel was faced with a battle against chariots, they became discouraged. They became overwhelmed. They became defeated in their minds because all they focused on was the chariot. All they could focus on was this reinforced machinery, this reinforced weaponry, and they were thinking, there's no way that I can defeat that. But God gave some wisdom to Joshua, and he said, listen, Joshua, if you'll take out the horses, then the chariot can't do anything. Amen. You're worried about the chariot when what you got the cart before the horse. What you need to do is you need to take care of the horse first, and then the chariot is going to be immobilized. And whatever it is that you're battling in your mind right now, that chariot, there's something that is mobilizing that thing. And if you will immobilize that, it will take care of the chariot. That thing that you fear, it's being carried by horses. It's being mobilized by voices of doubt. I think we call them triggers in today's world. Saying, Joshua, take care of the trigger. Stop focusing on the chariot and deal with the horse. If you'll take out the horse, you won't have to worry about the chariot. Amen. Some of us are so focused on this thing that we can't overcome. And God is saying there's something that is mobilizing that in your world. And instead of worrying about that chariot, if you'll take out the horse, you won't have to deal with the chariot any longer. I want us to raise our hands tonight. You are more. I'm not just preaching to the front row. Brother Corey, thank God for the way you get with my preaching. I love it. Thank you. But I ain't just preaching to Brother Corey. I'm preaching to people all throughout this building tonight that the enemy has convinced you. He's got you sequestered in this little territory, this little isolated piece of what God promised you. Not even a fraction of all that God has for you. But because of your own negative thinking and your own negative mindset, and the voices you have speaking into your world, you become content with just living in this little fraction of what God has for you. And on a Wednesday night, I walked into this room tonight to bust somebody out of your little fraction of what you've been living in and say, it's the will of God that you move into the valley. It's the will of God that you're victorious on the mountain. But it's also the will of God that you're victorious in the valley. Sorry, devil, I'm not listening to you any longer. God is, God can, God will bless my marriage. Sister Silvati, I still believe our God is a healer. Come on, he's the God of the mountain. We rejoiced earlier. Brother May had a great report, and we thank God he's the God of the mountain. He is God when we get back that report that says everything is good. Brother May, we rejoice with you. But he's not just the God of the mountain. He's also the God of the valley. Sister Mary, I know we're praying, but I don't just rejoice because of what God did for Brother May. I rejoice because I know that God is still our healer. He is the God of the valley. I'm going to ask us to come to this altar right now. Whatever that chariot is that the enemy has convinced you in your mind, depression, anxiety, worry, fear, average marriage, home life is a wreck. I know we're supposed to come to church and act like everything's perfect in our lives, but that's a fairy tale. Ain't nobody's life perfect. We all have our struggles, but you can't surrender your valley. You can't surrender a territory that God promised you just because there's opposition there. There's got to be something militant that rises up. I'm not talking about militant in the sense of our world today. You got to get a fight in you. The devil, you're not just going to walk into my home and take my children. Devil, you're not just going to walk into my home and take my marriage. Come on, you got to get a fight in you that my God is the God of the mountain and he's the God of the valley. And whatever it is that's mobilizing that chariot, whatever it is that's been driving that chariot through your world, the first thing you need to do is hamstring the horses, and then you can burn the chariot. I want us to raise our hands right now. You are more. You are great. You are great. Child of God, you are great.
Sometimes it is easy to start on your destination without knowing the exact path that it takes to get there. To get to our destination, we need to follow the one who knows our predestined path. Be sure to subscribe and watch us every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, visit us at www.livinghopemd.com.
So I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus.